Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from VOA studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Simpuga, and this evening we'll talk about the erosion of constitutional democracy in Uganda. And with us tonight is Charles Mwangu here. Charles is the bureau chief of the East African newspaper in Uganda. He joins us by phone from Kampala. Welcome to the show, Charles. Hello, Charles. Charles, are you there? All right. Okay. We also have Suleiman Mugula, who is joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and your viewers.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
We also have Mr. Nwagaba Wilfred. He's the Ndora East MP. Mr. Nwagaba is joining us also from Kampala by phone. Welcome to the show, Mr. Nwagaba.
Thank you, Douglas. Good evening, and good evening to listeners and viewers.
Thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if we have Charles now. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm listening to you. Oh. I don't know if you're picking me.
Now we are picking you very much. So welcome, to the gentlemen. As I said, we're going to be talking about the erosion of constitutional democracy in Uganda. The Constitution Amendment Bill, which seeks to scrap the lower and upper age limit of presidential candidates, has already had its first reading, and it has now moved to the Committee on Legal and Parliamentary Affairs for scrutiny. Let me begin by the MP there, Mr. Nwagaba. First, bring us up to date.
Yes, Douglas, of course, because the government knew that we were standing in parliament with our supporters accompanying us. We yesterday decided to adjourn the House time time. So nothing happened in the parliament today.
I see. Furthermore, are you among those who are opposed to this constitution amendment? Given the numbers and the manner in which the government has reacted to your objections, how do you see things moving from this point on?
Well, yes, fortunately, those opposed to this rape of our constitution, the numbers are increasing by day. And it's no longer a matter for the members of parliament, but it is a matter for all the citizens of Uganda. And the majority of the citizens have spoken loud and clear, and I hope that the members of parliament will for once look at their hearts and conscience and stand to prevail. They should for once look at the future of it and not look at the interest.
I see. We are having a scrap a line, I don't know, among one of our panelists. Charles, from your vantage point in Kampala there, we hear reports of people being harassed for even wearing red, and people seem to be against this amendment. What do you pick up from the general public?
Well, the voices have been extremely varied. There seems to be a strong sentiment, significant section of the population, that is against the proposed amendment. Of course, the frame of your question that says the rape of constitutional democracy in Uganda, the government side or the NIN side will not agree with you. They will think they are following the constitutional path and the following provision, articles within the constitution that provide for how it can be amended and changes made. Given that, the motives behind the amendment, the manner in which the amendment is being pushed, and what needs to be done to this constitution, seems to leave a lot of questions unanswered. Like you said, yes, there was an ugly incident in Kampala yesterday. I think even today, when riders of motorcycle taxis attacked people who were wearing red bandanas, which is the symbol for those opposed to this amendment. And police has given less than adequate answers to those attackers, saying they do not know who they are, they do not know about the incident. which is completely different from how the police has reacted largely to people who are in support. When the people in support have appeared to be under attack, the police have acted differently. When the people who are in support have decided to demonstrate or to show their support, police have protected them. Those against police have not protected them, actually have contributed to harassing them.
I see. Back to Mr. Nwagaba. Charles there mentioned people being harassed. Parliament, there was an incident the other day where members of parliament were subjected to some rough treatment and arrested. Do you feel more insecure now in parliament because parliament is meant to be a sanctuary for parliamentarians?
Unfortunately, the security is not only within the parliament, but also outside the parliament. Our colleagues' homes have been invaded with the bombs. Most of our lives are at stake. But all of these are kicks of the dying horse. And for us who are democratic believers and those who fight for good governance, we will not relent in spite not only the harassment, but also the torture and the threat, real threats of death.
I see. Let me bring in Suleiman here. Charles there mentioned that the side of the ruling party doesn't believe it's doing anything untoward, nothing unconstitutional. They are following the law to amend the constitution. But there are those who have the view that the MO, how this government has been operating, is to chip on the constitutional provisions that protect the people. What's your take on that?
Douglas, I think Uganda is one of the most tragic stories on the African continent because we have got a president, unlike others on the continent, who came to power after waging a war which took close to 800,000 people. That is almost the total number of people that Rwanda lost. After that, a civil war erupted, and it is estimated that close to 1 million people also perished in the civil war that erupted in the north and eastern Uganda. So, which means the president of Uganda, Mr. Museveni, is sitting on close to 2 million dead bodies of Ugandans. And he has all along justified his cause for the bringing on the constitutionalism, the rule of law, and good governance. It is very unfortunate that he has not fulfilled any of the promises that have led to all the deaths of all those people. That is why I call it one of the most tragic history on the continent. Because here is a man who promised the people, and unfortunately, whatever he promised was the opposite. He has worked for himself. What is happening today in Uganda is not an accident. I think it was systematically planned from the beginning, only that people never realized that they had a dictator. After the many people who died, people thought this was a genuine man. When he gave them the constitution, they thought when they were writing a constitution, they were writing a genuine constitution. But also, when you look at that constitution, from the beginning you could see that there was some deceit within it. Because the very constitution which they are talking about started on the wrong foot. It could not utter in multi-party politics. After that, in 2005, it was amended, which rendered it useless. Right now, what we are doing are the last safeguards. And by the time we are trying to, Mr. Nwagaba and the others are trying to defend it, it is already a lost case. We have got a fully-fledged dictatorship in Uganda, and whatever we are doing, there is nothing which is going to stop the man from continuing in power.
Mr. Nwagaba, further to that, to Suleiman's point there, the scrapping of term limits almost followed the same pattern, apart from the lack of violence that is there now. What makes you think this one won't go through as the term limits were scrapped?
Well, of course, you know, the term limits, he did it in a way that appeared to be a matter that came from the public, of course, which was not, and he used to bribe members of various parties. We know even now he has already started dishing out money to members of parliament to do the way he wants it. But we still have a feeling that this time the majority of the population have risen up and said, no, this, in spite of everything, this is the only remaining safeguard for our country, which has, since independence, never experienced a peaceful transfer of power from one president to another. So the Ugandans who know this story and who feel so much for their country, we believe, will put pressure on the members of parliament. We'll put pressure on the members of parliament, and the members of parliament will look at the interests of this country, at the common good of this country, and not be tempted by Mr. Museveni's money and threats to give him a blank check to have his craze of vice president.
Charles, is it Mr. Nwagaba giving too much credit to some of these members of parliament? Some of them we know. I don't know. What do you think? We've had reports of people actually rising up. Some of them even, we got reports that some banana plantation of the move of the amendment was cut down. Do you think the people can exert enough pressure among MPs to reconsider their decision?
Sorry to disappoint my friend, the Honorable Nwagaba, but I think his faith is a little too much in especially relying on members of parliament not to deliver this amendment for President Yoweri Museveni. I think that, the Honorable Nwagaba should know that the so-called consultation process is nothing more than a mere formality. The deal will be sealed in parliament. The ruling NRM has a majority of the members of parliament and has everything in its power. Actually, I should put it this way. President Yoweri Museveni has a majority in that parliament, and he has everything in his power to make sure he gets what he wants. The fact that this is not a matter that is going through a referendum process, it's going to be decided by parliament. It's after the presentation in the House the other day, it was sent to the Committee on Legal and Parliamentary Affairs. That committee is almost 90% populated by members of the National Resistance Movement Party. When they do their consultation, I actually suspect that many of the members will get the money for facilitation to go and do consultation. They will not do the consultation because they know they are going to make the decision in Parliament. How Nwagaba and his colleagues manage to appeal to the morality of those members, of their colleagues in Parliament, how they manage to appeal to them to rise to a patriotic call to save save President Yoweri Museveni first and foremost, to save the country and the Constitution from this amendment, is going to be definitely a monumental task. Like I said earlier in my submission, is there a very strong sentiment in opposition to this amendment? Yes. Has the path been taken by the government to have this amendment done? Does it give President Yoweri Museveni and his ruling party the easiest chance to get their way? Yes. And the only question I think that remains for Ugandans and for Honorable Nwagaba is, what are the consequences, short-term and long-term? Does President Museveni care about those consequences? I do not think he does at this time. Does the NRM, is the NRM thinking about those consequences? I am not sure they are thinking about those consequences, or they care enough to worry about what will happen after. Can Nwagaba and his colleagues marshal enough numbers to make sure that the Article 102B is preserved? I am not sure.
I see. Suleiman, for those who have been following Ugandan politics closely, this is how the M7 government operates. You just use old tricks, and there are people who actually are willing to carry this forward.
To begin with, Douglas, Mr. Museveni himself is interested to be a life president. That is the bottom line. In the recent Al Jazeera interview, the journalist asked Mr. Museveni several times, are you going to remove the term? Are you going to continue? He refused to answer the question absolutely. From his body language, it was very clear that he's interested in continuing as president. So long as Mr. Museveni is interested in continuing as the president of Uganda, the deal is already done. Rain or no rain, like it or not, the article is going to be amended. I agree with Charles that what we need to discuss now are the consequences of Mr. Museveni continuing in power. Because as we talk today, the country is not even supposed to be thinking about the amendment of 102. The country is in extreme economic stress. So we are supposed to be discussing, if there was any discussion to be carried on in the country today, we are supposed to discuss, the country is supposed to be discussing whether Mr. Museveni is viable even from tomorrow, because the country is in dire economic stress. Mm-hmm. I think that is what we need to discuss, and I would agree with you if later on we can go ahead and see what are the consequences of Mr. Museveni continuing in power.
I see. For those joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight we're discussing the erosion of democracy in Uganda. Our panelists are Charles Mwangu here, East African Bureau Chief in Kampala, Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst, and Wilfred Nwagaba, a member of parliament in Uganda. And now let me go back to Mr. Nwagaba. Suleiman says the country is under economic stress, and we'll talk about the consequences later. But first of all, this consultation process, we understand an unspecified sum of money will be given to you members of parliament to facilitate what they call consultations with your constituents. Now, some other people see this as a bribe, because as Charles says, there may be no need for you to go back to consult. Those who have made up their mind to support the amendment will support it. And we don't know how much money. Do you know how much money it is, first of all? And if so, do you consider it a bribe? What do you think?
Of course, this is a Museveni-geared consultation, which has already begun. It's not limited to members of parliament. He has deployed his RDC's country and a number of presidential assistants. The sort of consultation we are doing is, one, inviting specific political leaders from the party and only instructing them on what they want to do, promising them money, and after promising them money, of course, most of our people are poor. They are told to sign in support of their proposed amendment, and after that, they are given as media the $5,000, which is around $1.5, the kind of conversation we are talking about. But what I know, and the sentiment that is generating in the public, I don't think all members of parliament, the majority of whom President Museveni is relying on, I still have faith. I see the declaration from my friend Charles Mwangwia, that there should be no faith. But I still somehow have some faith that along the way, we may get some members of parliament who will look at this country. Because as our friend from Durban is saying, the constitution of president in the other day is struggling, levels of corruption are high, you can see a lot of a sense of insecurity. If you strange men on the street beating up people for wearing a particular clothes, that kind of hooliganism, that sense of insecurity, and think you are building up a country. The unfortunate thing is that the President Museveni is not bothered about this. She has clearly said, he's working for himself and his family. So whether the rest of Ugandans suffer is none of his business. And that's why we are calling upon Ugandans, please put pressure on your representatives to ensure that they the future of this country, its past and present, and do not take the future of the country on one man who is motor called President Museveni.
I see. Charles, to their credit, some people in Uganda at least are trying to show their opposition to this amendment. But then what happens if the amendment goes through? What do you think is going to be the general situation in the country? Charles, are you there? I think we may have lost Charles.
Douglas, if I may come in.
Come in, Suleiman.
I think, as Charles had said, the biggest problem is the consequences of Mr. Museveni continuing in power. I think at the moment, the worry of the country should be, as Charles said, doesn't seem to worry about the future of the country, because, number one, let us talk about figures. Uganda is among is in the top five in the highest population growth, as far as the population growth is concerned. It is in the first five countries in the world. Number two, our friend or the leader of Uganda himself has opened the borders of the country. You find the Sudanese are pouring in almost 1,800 a day. On the southern border, you have got Burundians, you have got Rwandese, you have got DRC, you have got Ethiopians, you have got Somalia. The country is just open. Tanzania has got more space. But as we talk, they are pressurizing Burundian refugees to go back to Burundi. But for Uganda, it is just opened up. And this is a country which has got almost close to 100% of unemployment. You have got a country which is bedeviled by extreme poverty. You have got a country which a president and a government which only talks about infrastructure, but they have failed even to construct 35 kilometers of the highway from the Entebbe airport to the city center. Whereas in the same number of years, Kenya has been able to construct 470 kilometers of railway. For them, only 35 kilometers, he has failed. Corruption, immense. So by and large, if I'm summarize it, I'm saying the country seems to be going nowhere. So which means Museveni should have left even by yesterday. Mm-hmm. What is happening today, the sentiments which are expressed by Ugandans, they are not fighting against the amendment of the 102. What the struggle in Uganda now should be how to remove Museveni from power, how to regain their country back, because they are now hostages of a government, of an individual who is only thinking about himself but not the nation. Because the nation has got bigger problems more than him staying in power.
I see. Mr. Nwagaba, this amendment has already been read and referred to the Committee of Parliament. What time frame are we looking at? How soon or can it take to go through the process?
Well, the committee is supposed to be reporting back to Parliament within 45 days. But the information we have is that some 7 months the process expedited. You surprised if in the next 2 weeks you find the committee reporting back to Parliament. Because his thinking is that if it is done as fast as possible, by 2019, Uganda will have forgotten what we have gone through to have the amendment, and the things we have decided. But we are planning to have a three-pronged strategy. So, yes, he will get it, and he can get it. Of course, as we are not afraid of many other bodies, but at least the world will know the hypocrisy he has committed all along that he's democratic. At least now everybody knows that he has never had any brand of democracy in his reign.
Do you think the NRM MPs can marshal the two-thirds majority they need to pass the amendment? Because they also have army parliamentarians, they have other interest groups. It shouldn't be a problem for them to raise the two-thirds.
Well, it shouldn't be a problem for them because themselves are enough. They have some independence. They have the army. Even incidentally, from the position, MPs, because one of them is the minister, so has to go by corrective responsibility. But we are appealing to the MPs and to your government that please, in this country, is bigger than this one. Don't put one back. Because the consequences, as our friend has said, can only be negative. The chances of our country becoming another failed state, another Somalia, another Libya, are now visible and in high gear. And we need collectively to stop that from happening.
Briefly, before I leave you, what if this goes through, what would this mean to the opposition and independent members of parliament? Because now your voice is being brushed aside. No, but they don't even want to listen to you.
That could be true, but when in 1996, when President Museveni stood for election, I think over 75% of the people did not see the reason why you should even have had an opening. But the story since the one has been changing. And I can tell you, the fear that people usually have
I see. The line is a bit cranky. Suleiman, to summarize, what is happening? You seem to be convinced the thing will go through, and whatever happens, happens. Is that your opinion?
No doubt about it. Mr. Museveni is determined. The amendment is going to be carried out. And it is not by accident. It's something he planned ever since from the 1980s. He had wanted to be president and president for life. The constitution which they produced itself in 1995, it had flaws. It had not ushered in multi-party democracy. He wanted to have one-party politics. He was forced to remove that and usher in multi-party unwillingly, but he has remained a single-party leadership. That is what he wants. After that, he amended the term limits. After term limits, he made sure that he makes changes in the judiciary so that the judiciary is captured. After that one, he captured the legislature. Then after that one, he made changes in the security forces. Most of them are partisan. Most of them are tribal based. So like the leadership before, he has resurrected the traditional fault lines of characterized by politics of marginalization and domination of one group or one party or one tribe. So that is the face which is in Uganda. So today, as Uganda stands, it has gone backwards, and you can expect the worst from now onwards. The economy is doing badly. He is not interested in building the country. The corruption has destroyed it. Mm-hmm. He feels he can do it because he has got a personal army, he has got personal security forces, personal police to suppress all the opposition. But it will be a very difficult time for you.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, gentlemen, and that's the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Charles Mwanguhia, East African Bureau Chief in Kampala, Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa, and Wilfred Nwagaba, Member of Parliament in the Ugandan Parliament. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
The pleasure.
Thank you. Our producer was Jackson Mfunganyi, and our engineer was Skip Sisk. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that just in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.vonews.com. Click on Reporters Roundtable and the program will be there. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.